We're going to read two passages of scripture, Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and then we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. I want you to read out loud with me, everybody. If the person beside you is not reading, tell them, come on, come on, come on. Here we go. Everybody, read it with me, everybody. For I... So this word established right here, it means so that you may grow, so that you may be encouraged, so that you may be, your faith might increase. Paul is saying, the reason I have a spiritual gift is so that it might encourage your faith and make you trust God more. Watch it, continues verse number 12. That is, that I may... Stop right there. Each of us by, what are we being encouraged by? The other's faith. So I want every Sunday when I come to church, I want you to see my faith and I want it to encourage you. And I want to see your faith and I want your faith to encourage me. That's why he gave us these things called spiritual gifts, both yours and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Here's what he has to say to us. I read it, everybody. As. Stop right there. So look at the person next to you and say, you got one. Yeah. Look at the other person and say, you got one. Yeah. Look at yourself and say, I got one. Everybody got a gift. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody. Nobody's excluded. We all have a gift. Here's what he says you need to do. In light of the gift that you know you have, I want you to... This is pretty cool. So what are we? We're stewards. You have bad stewards and you have good stewards. We're supposed to be good stewards, which means if you're not using your gift, that's probably not the best word for you because you're not a good steward. I'm not going to say what you are, but you're not a good steward. And so he says, I want you to be a good steward. And here is what we're dealing with. Here is what we're transacting. It's the manifold grace of God. That's the only reason you're here is because of the grace of God. What we're trading with each other, what we're dealing with each other, is we're dealing with the grace of God. So that what you're doing every time is you're using grace to fuel somebody's faith. You're saying, the mere fact that you showed up today is grace, and I want you to remind you that you ought to be encouraged in God because he allowed us to show up. Next verse, verse 11, watch it. He says, two categories, one who speaks and one who serves. So he says, whatever your gift is, if it has to do with speaking, then I need you to do it. If it has to do with serving, then I need you to do it. Let's read it together. Whoever Why are we doing this? Why should you speak? Why should you serve? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. If you're just joining us, we're in a sermon series called Know Your Why. Say that with me. Know Your Why. We have no more meaningless life. My whole goal in this sermon series, is to make sure that nobody under the sound of my voice goes through life in a meaningless manner when God has uniquely gifted you and uniquely wants to use you to advance his glory. In light of that, what we said was, so far, that you ought to ask this question, what breaks my heart? What breaks God's heart, and then what breaks my heart? Because the answer to that question will lead you to your core values. What is it that I care deeply about? It will lead you there. And so the question that we ask when it comes to core values, let's put up that screen. When it comes to core values, the question that we ought to ask is, what breaks my heart? That's the question we're asking. Another way to ask it is at the end of my life, what do I want people to walk down and thank me for? What do I want them to be grateful and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. Thank you so much. What do you want them to thank you for? Those are the things that you should be writing in this column. And we gave you time to process that as a family and as an individual, and you should be working through that. In addition to that, we said the next thing you have to work on is your past experiences. And you have to ask the question, what is it that when I was not looking, God was working in my past, and what are the positives and the negatives that he has allowed out so that I can ultimately come to my calling. And then today, we're going to answer the question, what are the spiritual gifts that he has given me, and how does he want me to use those for the advancement of his glory? So let's zoom in on this idea of spiritual gifts. I want this group right here, just this group, not the ones up top, just this group. I want you to stand. Please, it's not a trick. I promise you. Just stand right here for me, please. You're not getting called out. All I want you to do is stand. I promise. All right? Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in churches all over the nation and all over the world, this is what I want you to see. Don't ever forget this. This is normal. Only these people in here are using their spiritual gifts. All of y'all, you're not. These are the only people, 20%. 20% of people in churches, maximum, 20% are using their gifts and abilities. They know their gift, and they're using it for the glory of God. The rest of y'all just come to church to take something from Jesus and walk away. That's all you're doing. All you're doing is coming to church. Let me suck, give me, and then you go home and you work on me again, because life's all about me, but you don't care about the gift, the deposit that God's placed inside of you, and because of that, you're not using your gift. Only 20%. Can you imagine if everybody used their gift? Can you imagine if we get to our full redemptive potential? That means the potential of the church is only 20% currently. Can you imagine what it would be if 100% of the people were using their God-given gift to advance his glory? Can you help? Let's hear it for the 20%. Just these guys. Let's hear it for the 20%. Come on, do a little better for the 20%. You may be seated. Awesome. All right, so here's what we're targeting. We're targeting the 80%, and we're going to get the 80% to start serving today. Praise the Lord, somebody. We're going to get the 80% to start serving. Let's see if we can get on the path. What makes you is your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart or your passion, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. That's what makes you you. So today we're going to zoom in on this thing called spiritual gifts and try to see what God might want to say to us on today. If you don't have a handout, just raise your hands and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. You're going to need it on today. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and let's deal with verse number 11. Romans chapter 1, verse number 11. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something more important than discovering your gift. There is something more important than discovering your gift. And actually, if you don't know this one, and if you don't do this one, then your gift is heading in the wrong direction. I'll explain that in a minute. Here's what he says. Paul, talking to the church gathered in Rome, he says this: "For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." Here's what he's saying. I long to see you. Here's why I need to see you. Because I need my faith to be increased, and you need your faith to be increased. So he says, I long to see you so that I may impart some, I might use my gift and impart that to you so that you might be established, or you might grow up, or your faith might be increased. He said, Pastor, where are you getting that from? Verse number 12. Here's what he says. I want to impart my gift so that I may be encouraged. He wants to be encouraged, and he wants to encourage you. Together with you, while among you, each of us by, say this phrase with me, the other's faith. This is so huge, and so many people miss this. Ladies and gentlemen, before you come to church every Sunday, there's some things you ought to be doing. You ought to realize that somebody in your row needs you today. You ought to realize that their faith is weakened, and it is your assignment that you, based on your gift, will infuse faith into their lives so that they will trust Christ more, so that they will believe in God more because of your interaction with them today. This gets pretty special. That means in the car, you have to pray, God, will you please help me today? Will you please help me to use the spiritual gift of prayer to simply infuse faith and increase their trust in you? So when you come to church, you're meeting somebody and say, you don't even talk, they don't even know you're praying for them, but you're praying for them. Say, God, will you blow their minds today? God, will you transform their hearts today? God, because you have the gift of prayer. God, will you do what I can't do, and that is do something supernatural in all of this row? Even if you have to let them get up and run, just get up and run, just because you want to do something in their lives today. You ought to be praying that for everybody in your row. You need to look at people in your row every single week and say, you might not want to sit in this row, because I'm going to pray all of y'all. I'm going to pray all of y'all that your faith in Jesus might be increased. That's what you do. So the problem is that many people come to church and they're not thinking about the fact that they should have a desire inside of them. They should have a desire to increase people's faith in Jesus. Every single time you come to church, that's why you don't come to church for you. That's why when I hear somebody say, well, I don't like the praise and worship. I don't like the drama. I just want the word. Just give me the word. I don't have the gift of mercy. Your heart's wrong. That's when the Holy Spirit, you saw the Holy Spirit use you and just turn what would have been something inappropriate into something appropriate. Your heart's in the wrong place. That's saying it nicely. That's not what I want to say, but that's saying it nicely. He's saying, you don't just come to church for you. You come to church because the saints need you. You come to church because I need you and you need me. And the person beside you need you. And you ought to be praying that God will strengthen their faith so that we trust him more. So you have to pray for the desire to want. You know how you discover your spiritual gifts? By every single time you come in home, you come into church, whether it's Wednesday night, Friday night, whenever you come to church, and you're saying, God, will you just use me today to strengthen somebody's faith? That should be every person's prayer. Everyone. By the way, that's why you can't come late to church. Because then you might miss who God wants you to bless. Praise the Lord! Let me preach to me now. I'll just preach to you, let me preach to me. That's why I can't end church services late. You like that, don't you? So that you don't have to time it when we're going to finish. No, that's my job, to end it early so that when that time you come, you're praying for everybody. And you have to be praying for people when they leave in the parking lot, God. I pray that when they meet the traffic as they're going out, the devil don't sift out what they just heard because of the traffic that they have to wait. You have to pray for people for that. Preach, Pastor. And then you have to pray for yourself. As I wait in this line, I'm getting increasingly ticked off. God, will you help me increase my faith in you so that the enemy don't snatch out my trust in you? And when the person in front of you cut you off from that parking lot, you got to say, God, they needed it more than me. Bless their socks off, Lord. Bless them today, Jesus. Just give them what they need because they need you today. They need you, Lord. And don't pray it angrily. Pray it meaningfully. But that's what you need. So listen. So if you have the spiritual gift of encouragement, then that's what you do when you come to church. God, give me somebody to encourage. I just wanna live. If their head's walking down like this, by the time I'm done with them, Jesus, and you use my gift, I'm gonna make them walk out looking like this, like they could not believe that all God wants to do in them. Let me show you how serious this is. No joke, let me show you how serious this is. This weekend at our Louisville campus, I invited a guest worship leader to come and to sing and to lead worship in Louisville this weekend. And I'm talking to him this week. Say, hey, yeah, man, looking forward to it. Can't wait. And then I just started listening to what he was saying. And I'm going to show you now the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural gift. Don't miss it. It's the rules. So he started talking and he says, yeah, you know, I just can't wait to showcase what God's doing in my life and to just let the people know. Are you hearing this? Let the people know just what God's been doing in my life. Then he said, how much y'all paying? I said, well, this amount. I said, no, that's not enough. That's not what I go for. Let me tell you, he's not in Louisville this morning. Let me tell you why he's not in Louisville. He's not in Louisville because a spiritual gift, what determines a spiritual gift from a natural gift, is when you have a desire to increase someone's faith in God so that by the time they leave you, they are thinking higher about God than when they came in. If you make this a concert about you, you are operating in the natural, and that's a natural ability that is not a spiritual gift, which means it's not going past the roof. It's going to stay right in here because there's no transformational power in that, because it was all about you and it had nothing to do with helping people get closer to God. This is huge. That's why you don't take, that's why when you come into church and you're serving as an usher, you don't just serve as an usher. You're praying for people as you guide them along the way. And that's why you have to pray that prayer in your car. And you got to say, God, help me as I pass this bulletin to somebody today, that they know that you will increase their faith today. That's why we need a parking lot. You're not just telling somebody park there. You're saying, God, I don't know where they are today, but will you please increase their faith in you so that when the storms of life come, that they will hold on to the anchor of Jesus Christ so that they won't shift when things get hard. That's what you're praying for. That's why you're using your gifts and abilities to encourage and help somebody else. This is not a game, church. We're talking spiritually transforming the life of somebody by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why if all you want to do is have a drive-by church where you just drive by, get a word, and go, then go somewhere else. I promise you, we need your seat this morning. And I'm not joking now. I'm not joking. No. If you're a guest, we love you. Thanks so much for coming. I ain't talking to you. But I'm talking to them regular ones that's been here for a minute. Talking about I ain't serving nowhere. I ain't doing all that. That's all too much. Then go, there's tons of churches. You just drive by and get fed and go home. Then just stay. I'm telling you. That's you. Just stay. I'm good. Because the stakes are too high for you to be here 5, 6, 7 years and going through the same motion over and over and over again and thinking just because you give a little money, then that's good. Then keep your money because God don't need it either. And I'm not mad. I just don't have the mercy gift. So I can't, my wife talking about, amen, he don't have it. He don't have it. By the way, let me tell you something about her. Since she went in there. If you're at women's Bible study, I heard y'all talk about me a whole lot. My top gift is leadership, okay? Here's what that means. Wherever I go, I'm finna lead. So the other day, there was confusion at the gas station. And I had to sort out the confusion. I got out of my car and I said, hey, you, stop. You, come on, take that pump. That's what leaders do. They can't help it. They lead wherever they go. We don't deal with confusion. That's why when you go to the grocery store and you see 15 people in one line and the other checkers all over the place, you said, manager, can somebody lead in here? Somebody, it's about a customer. Can somebody lead in the name of Jesus? Jada's number one gift is teaching. So let me talk about her for a minute. See, I would have never have found an illustration in me going to the gas station. But teachers, her and Eric, they just let her talk. They can talk about anything. You just said to them, hey, talk about this page. They'll be like, huh, these pages are interesting. And they just start talking about the page. I'll be like, how you do that? You know what I mean? So here's what I have to do. This is huge. This is so important to know about your spiritual gift. So I have three. I have leadership, then teaching, then discernment. That's my three. I don't have no more. So mercy is not there. All that's not there. That's all I got, right? So you need to know. You need to know. For me, I got to work really hard at preparing a deal. Now, Jada and Eric, they can wing it. They don't because they're disciplined. But they can wing it and just come here and do something. What takes me 25 hours, take them about 10 hours to do, right? So here's the beauty about it. So my job then is if I'm going to use my spiritual gift of teaching, which is my number two gift, I got to do so much more work than they do. They can come here and just say, hey, what do you think about what God's doing in Houston? And they just talk. Because all their lives they've been talking. That's what the both of them do. They just talk. That's what they do. That's all they do. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. So for me, if you ask me, what are you doing? Hold on. Let me do a little bit of research. Let me see what's going on. Hold on. They're like, oh, no, I know exactly what's going on. And they just go. That's because that's their number one gift. So when it's your number one gift, it's effortless. You do it effortlessly. You just walk around and you just do it. But when it's your number two or number three, and listen. Here's what I want you to hear. Don't dare lust after somebody's gift and ask God to make your number three gift your number one gift. Just operate in the number one gift that he's given you and watch what he will do with everything else. Somebody needed to hear that today. Because for too long, we just want what the Bible calls and what people call the show gifts. I'm like, sometimes it's not for you. Sometimes that's not your number one. Just operate in your number one. Let me tell you what I do with my number one. There's not a week that goes by that I don't read, listen, or interview a leader. Not 1 week since I was 24 years old. Not one. You know why? Because anything that's going on about leadership, I want to learn from it. I'm watching the head of FEMA now and how he's doing versus the other head of FEMA that we have. I'm studying them. I'm reading a book on Facebook right now called Becoming Facebook, How to Disrupt the World. I'm reading it. You know why? Because I want a church to disrupt the world. I don't want Facebook to disrupt. I want a church to disrupt it. And that's my job, to fan and deploy the gift that God's given me. The question is, what's your gift and how are you using your gift and how are you developing your gift? Because if you're not developing it, that means it's like you get a lottery ticket. You have a whole bunch of money waiting on you and you never go collect it. How pathetic is that? The King of Glory has given you a gift, customized for you, and you're not using it. So all I'm trying to suggest is before you come to church, you've got to make sure you're saying to God, God, give me the desire to increase somebody's faith. Why do I need that? So that as I use my gift, it has a goal, and its goal is to increase their faith. Come on, let's go. You need some of this because you're going to get mad. So let's go do it real quick before I run out of time. All right, the only ones you need is C. C says the problem behind the problem. I told you that already. So the problem behind the problem, here's the answer. There is something more important than discovering your gift. What is that? And that is there anyone whose faith I can strengthen? Your job as a believer, before you get to what my gift is to ask every single Sunday morning, every single Wednesday, every single Friday when you go to the comedy deal, when you go to the deal on Saturday, is there anyone whose faith I can strengthen? That's what you're asking God today. God, give me the ability to strengthen somebody's faith on today. Why is that important? Because if you don't ask that question, then you're doing it in your natural ability and not according to the spiritual gift that God has called you to give. So let's move on. Next one says this: four gifts you received when you accepted Jesus Christ. Gift number one, forgiveness. Gift number two, eternal life. Gift number three, the Holy Spirit. And gift number four, the spiritual ability or your spiritual gifts. Here are the four gifts. You were walking around with shame and guilt. He blessed you and asked you and forgave you of your sins. You didn't have eternal life. You're condemned to life without God. He gave you eternal life. Then he implanted in you the Holy Spirit. And then now you have your spiritual gifts. Here's the problem. You love these three, but you never use this one. You love these three. You love forgiveness. You love eternal life. You love the Holy Spirit. But you never use the fourth one that he has given you. How could you? And then let's look at four reasons you need to know them. You need to know them for four reasons. Number one is because they shape your work. Number two, they shape your worth. Number three, they shape your worship. And number four, your witness. Here's what that means. Number one, your work simply means they shape your work. How can you really know what God's called you to do unless you know your gifts and you're using them on the job that you're on? You ought to know, because that on the flip side is your natural ability, and that's what you're using on your job to make sure you're doing it so you can get paid to do what you want to do on the spiritual side, which is used for the glory of God. Number two, they show your worth. Listen. You'll never get fully fulfilled unless you know it. Ephesians 2:10 says, you're his masterpiece. In other words, he fashioned you. The word from which we get the word poem. He has written you in detailed format. And he says, because of that, I know what is in your best interest, which is why I gave you the gift I gave you. So I want you to see your value. It means you're needed in this body. It means you're desperately needed to use your gift to serve somebody else. And when you don't do it, you can't fully appreciate your worth and your value. Next one is your worship. And he says, you will only get full fulfillment when you start using your gift. And then when you realize that God is pleased when you're using your gift, you are pleased when you're using your gift, then the world will see that there's something radically different about you. So then, Pastor, what's the problem? Let me show you the problem. This is the problem. This right here. When you got saved, you were grateful that you got to serve. You know, right now you'll be like, man, I got to go serve. I don't want to serve. I can't believe I got to serve. But when you got saved for the first time, you were like, oh my gosh, I get to serve. And so you jumped in the pool and you jumped in and you'd be like, whoa, this is cool. God is using me. And then somebody hurt your feelings. And then you got tired. And then life happens. You got busy. And then this is what you did. You said, you know what? About 2 weeks after you got saved, you know what? I don't really like that anymore. And then you do what most Christians do. You came over here, and if you black, If you're black, you be like, ooh, the sun's right there. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you return it all different sides of the sun number. If you're white, if you're white, you laying out. Woo! Yay!
Yay! Hallelujah! This feels great.
If you're white. That's if you're white, okay? And so what? But you don't care anything about those in the pool. That's why only 20% in there. That's why it's only 20% using their gifts in the pool. You jumped in and then you got hurt, so you left. Now you have become so comfortable that you have designer chairs. Sitting down, kicking it, talking about, ooh, yeah, I like this pad right here. They designed it. Now, you could not care less what God's doing in that pool. All you care about is your comfort. And this is how some of you look right now. People are doing everything they can for the glory of God to create havoc in this world for the glory of God. And all you're doing is sitting down and saying, well, all right. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And then some of you don't like the bland colors. You need to be all, oh, no, this is the new color of the season. I need, yes. And you'll be kicking it over here. Oh, isn't this feel wonderful? And you're not where God's called you to be, and you're loving it. Therein lies the problem. Too many of you are over here and not in the pool. And then some of you have the gall. This is how you look, some of you. This is how some of you look. You know how I know? This is what you say. Well, I can serve on the fifth Wednesday for 12 minutes before the service, then I gotta go. We need an algorithm to figure out when you're gonna serve. That don't make no sense. But you be like, well, I'm still serving. Ain't nobody, here's how you know, one foot in. You're supposed to be there at 7 o'clock, you show up at 9:30. I'm serving, here I am. You know why some of you don't laugh? Because it's you. You used to get to do it. It was an honor to do it. You couldn't believe you had God would even think about using you to serve. Now it's, man, I got to go to church. Man, they want me again. Let me just tell them. I won't call them because that'll take too much. Let me just text them. Not making it today. Can't make it today. Can you give a reason? No. That would be too complicated. You don't need to know. I just don't want to be there. This is what happens in church. And then someone call you back and want to hold you accountable like they do at work, but you don't want to make any faces at work because you get paid. But at church, in the name of Jesus, you be like, see, this is why I don't like church people. I'm leaving. I can't be leaving it. I'm finna go get my comfortable chair and I'm finna sit down. That happens every single week in churches all over this country. And it's sad. He's given us the gift. And we don't want to use it. And we come up with all these excuses why we shouldn't. And I'm saying, will you get out of the lounge chair? I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, Indian. I don't care who you are. Get out. You're not supposed to be there. This ain't for you. Praise the Lord. Turn that thing over. And let's get back in the pool. Let's get back in. Look at the person beside you and say, you in the pool? Look at another one. You in the pool? Don't ask. Don't wait for an answer. They're going to lie. Just look at the other one. No, you don't need to answer this one. Look at the other one. You in the pool? Okay, lastly, look at yourself. You in the pool, self? Gotta be in the pool. Let's go, next one. Come on, let's go, next one. Here's what it says. 4 steps to using your gifts. 1. Oh, sorry, I got an older version, my bad. I got the first iteration of the notes. It says 3. You're right, it is 3. 3 steps to discovering and using your gifts. Here's number 1, you got to discover them. Number 2 is you got to develop them. And then number 3, you got to deploy them. Number 1, you got to discover them. Here's how you discover them. You come to church and you say, God, please help me strengthen somebody's faith. The more you do that, the more feedback you get and the more fulfillment you get. So the question you have to ask, here's how you know your gift. When the feedback is so overwhelming, not 1 or 2 people, because then people might be lying to you. You need an overwhelming response by truth tellers. So when they tell you, you're like, over, man, everybody says that they feel encouraged when I use my gift. That's how you know. That's how you know. And then number two is when you feel fulfillment out of it. It's because as you do it, you're like, man, this is effortless for me. I don't even have to think about it. This is just this is what I was made to do. That should be your response. And so when you find fulfillment and when you find the feedback is overwhelming, then you know you're heading in the direction of your spiritual gift. But it starts with the question behind the question, which is, do I just come to church to figure out how I can strengthen somebody's faith in God? Because we need it every single day. Then after you discover them, then you have to develop them. What are you doing to develop your spiritual gift? Who do you know that have it? And how? When was the last time you asked somebody, hey, tell me how you do this some more? If you have the gift of wisdom, then you should be counseling and helping people share that. If you have the gift of discernment, then you need to be encouraging people to be around you so that they can ask you questions. And so you can go to God and try and discern what the future might be for that person or what the scenario or the solution to the problem they might have. If you have the gift of hospitality, then you need to figure out how you can create better environments so that people will feel extraordinarily comfortable when they're in your presence. If you have the gift of health, whatever the gifts are, you've got to be able to use those. And the way you know it is you start with the question, God, give me the desire to strengthen my brothers and sisters' faith. And then whatever you do naturally will come out. One of the tests I usually do all the time is I usually have a pie and I pour it on somebody. And just imagine, I was going to do it today, but it would be too messy, so I didn't do it. And you pour it on somebody. Whatever your response is to somebody getting a pie poured on them is an indication of what your spiritual gift is. Some of you would be like, oh my gosh, how can I help you? Let me help you clean up. That's the mercy gift. The mercy people love that stuff. I wouldn't do that. if you have the gift of exhortation, you'd say something like this. I could have told you that was going to happen. If you had thought about it the other way, then that you should have had an apron on. And they go, anybody asking you all that? No. But that's what the exhortation gift has. So whatever your gift is, just figure that out and then move in that direction. And then number three, you got to deploy. So development means you must figure out who has it that's better than you and doing it, and then go spend some time with them so that they can help you get better. You must read on your gift, and you must develop that and spend time learning, developing, and growing in the area of your gift so you can be the best person that has that particular gift. And then the last one is you got to deploy it. You got to jump in the pool and remember the attitude with it. You don't have to do this. You get to do it. Say that with me. You don't have to do this. You... One more time. You don't have to do this, you. That's right. It's an honor. It's a privilege that you get to encourage somebody's faith. It is not a have to. It's not a chore. It's an honor that God, in his infinite wisdom, would think to give you that gift so that you can inspire somebody else's faith. Here's the reasons why we don't do it now. Here's the three most often used excuses for not using your spiritual gifts. Number one is... never has been a priority in your life. Number two is I'm too busy. And number three is I was overlooked. I didn't get one. So let's talk about, I'm only going to talk about one of them. Let's talk about the one you use the most. I'm too busy. Let's talk about that real quick. No, you do realize that that's not true. It's not that you're too busy. There's a value beneath your fake statement that you're too busy. Okay? Let me get closer to you. Do you realize that when you say you're too busy, that you will make time for what you value and what's important? Do you realize that? So you will. I promise you. Whenever you find something that you really value, you make time for it. So here's what you're really saying. I don't value spiritual gifts. Because if you really valued it, you'd make time for it, and you wouldn't be too busy for it. So the real truth of the matter is, God, I don't value you that much, nor the gift you've given me that much, so that's why I'm putting everything else as more important than you. That's the truth. Because it's exposing a value that you have. Everything else becomes more important than you, God, and the gift that you've given me. So if I was talking to somebody and they had this, and because I don't have the mercy gift, and they caught me on the wrong day when I really wasn't all prayed up and everything else, then I'd be like, are you kidding me now? And I'd just, you know, like an old Catholic, I'll just lay on the guilt. So really? Is that how you want to treat God? But when I have the mercy gift, which I don't, but when he allows me to have glimpses of it, then I'll calm down, walk in the spirit, and I'll remind them that, hey, man, come on, he's really been too good for you not to use the gift that God's given you. Let's remove the foolish excuses, and let's jump in the pool. Look at your neighbor, tell them, jump in the pool. Look at the other one and say, jump in the pool. You have two opportunities to do it, two opportunities. Number one, you can either go on the website and choose the area of ministry, or you have it in your handouts where you can just choose one. But you don't get to stay on the sidelines anymore. That's a consumeristic mentality toward church. I know that's what we do in this country, but that's not what we're allowed to do in the body of Christ. The reason you have a life group is so that you can use your gifts. The reason you have ministry groups is so you can use your gifts. And by the way, if you don't want your kids to turn out like you, then get them to start using their gifts now. If you want your kids to really realize how much they need God, then throw them into ministry. They don't need to be ready for it. Just throw them in there. Because when a little kid asks them, hey, what does the Bible say about this? And they look like a fool, they're going to come home and say, I got to know my Bible. Let me go study my Bible a little bit more. And that's a good thing because they're learning it outside of you telling them to read it. So why wouldn't you want your kids to learn? There shouldn't be one kid, not one, that's over 12-year-old that's not serving in this church, not one. You know why I'm doing what I'm doing today? Because at 16, somebody said to me, I think you can lead the whole student ministry. And they called me aside and they said, I'm going to make sure you can. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm terrified. Then I read the verse in the Bible that says, if you're a teacher, you're going to be judged twice as hard. And I said, I ain't doing that once. I just want to be judged once, not twice in the name of Jesus. So I ain't doing that. And therefore, there was this fear about entering into this phase of ministry. But ladies and gentlemen, I got the bug when I was 16 years old. Somebody called me and said, come serve. What are you waiting on with your kids? Why don't you want them to? You know why I couldn't leave when I went to college? Because I was so immersed in it. I was forced to trust God at an early age. Are your kids having the opportunity to trust God at an early age? And if they're not, whose fault is that? Ours. Because we're not giving them the opportunity. Will you call them out to serve? And by the way, the best way for them to do it is if they see you doing it. If they see you serving, then they know that's important to my mama. That's important to my daddy. I better do it too. All right, I'm done. I gave you all I got. Get off of the sidelines and get into the pool. Father, everybody under the sound of my voice, we're either in the pool or we're not. I pray that by the end of this week, as we process and we pray, every person, everyone will be in the pool. And that at this church, we'll have 100% participation. No matter how small it might be, but 100%. Because we get it. You've gifted it to us. Not for us to sit in a chair on the side, but for us to get in the game. We get it, God. It's not that we have to do this. It's that we get to do it. Will you change the attitude of our church, all our campuses, and allow us the privilege of getting to do this, not have to, and help us to be faithful as we do. God, I pray that every person on the sound of my voice will come to church, having asked the question and prayed it in the car. God, give me the desire today to increase somebody's faith. And when we come into service, God, will you help us to just do that? Encourage people, whether we're praying for them silently and they never know it. Or are we stopping and saying, how can I pray for you? And we try to increase their faith. Help us just to use our gifts so that they don't remain natural abilities, but they're transferred into a supernatural enablement by God to increase the faith of others. Thanks for the opportunity to represent you well. Thanks for a generous, grateful church. Lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. We're going to accept some new members, so if you don't mind, stay seated until we have come to the end.